Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Want to catch the zone on the go? Download the iPhone or Android app today. Download it now at 1045thezone.com.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Dave McGinnis is back. He's presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, and we're ready for Dallas. Being ready to make that trip on Sunday. Monday Night Football. Cowboys, Titans. You can hear that game right here on Titans Radio, 104.5 The Zone. Looking forward to that, and looking forward to the rest of the hour with Coach Mack in studio with us. What's up, Coach?
Hey, guys. How we doing? Hey, this is a first. This is the first time. I've been in here about 300 times this year so far. And Mary Frances got up and gave me her chair.
She's finally learning.
See, last week without you guys here, Mary Frances is like, nope, I'm not moving. You can go over there to Paul's seat.
She's never moved. She's never moved once when I came in here. And then today she said, Coach Mack, you can have this. I think it's because
today's the day.
I think it's because Friday night we gave her a shout out when we called in.
That's it.
Jonathan, after we did our game. Thanks, Mary Frances.
Hey, good job on that game, by the way.
That was fun.
Enjoyed it.
That was a lot of fun.
From Wembley Stadium to Thompson Station.
That's right. It was Wembley Stadium, Thompson Station. Just give us a microphone.
The Wembley of Williamson County, as I called it.
That's right. That's right. Mac, are we ever going to get you in a pedal tavern?
Hey, that thing you sent me the other day, you know, I was trying to do some serious work, and all of a sudden I get this shot. That pedal tavern looks like so much fun. And you guys really, first of all, you know, the three of you, that's a perfect trio to do it. And the fact that you let the people bring a friend so they know somebody immediately, and then it looked to me like it was – and then when you hit me later on, it sounded like you were having even a better time. That's a great idea. To answer your question, yes, I'm gonna try to make that thing.
November 13th is our next one.
The only issue I've got is that I would have liked to have made it in the summer or the fall.
You don't like the cold.
Oh, we had a beautiful day.
Well,
I don't mind
the cold, but I mean, if we were pedaling out there today, it might be a little iffy. Yeah.
Hey, let's start with a story time from Coach Mack, if you don't mind. Your first Monday Night Football game of the season for the Chicago Bears back in 1987.
Oh, remember it well.
Bears hosting the New York Giants. It was Ditka against Parcells. You were there. Your Bears won at the time, 34-19. You had McKinnon with a 94-yard punt return for a touchdown that lit the place on fire. And is that your favorite Monday night experience?
Yeah, it was because, you know, in 85, of course, clearly the Bears won it. And then in 86, the Giants won it. And so, you know, and in 86, you know, that Bears team we had, we were 14-2, you know, we're the number one seed in the NFC and got beat by Washington, Darrell Green, hurdled Ron Rivera for a 70-yard touchdown, you know, in the playoff game. Anyway, so the next year, I mean, the Bears in 87 were really revved up to play the Giants. I mean, this was going to be a showdown. And so the atmosphere that whole week in Chicago was crazy. And then that night, I mean, the old Soldier Field, I mean, the atmosphere was just, I mean, it was bananas. It really was. It was nuts. It was crazy. And then, and the players. And so, you know, and you had Lawrence Taylor and Banks and Bavaro and Phil Sims and, you know, and we had all the guys that we had, you know, McMichael and Hampton and Singletary and Peyton. And then you had Ditka Parcells. I mean, Belichick was a defensive coordinator at the time for the Giants. I think Romeo Crennel was a special teams coach at the time for the Giants. So, I mean, there was some real stuff going on out there. And then it was, I mean, the pregame was like, you know, at that time, that was before the NFL had a rule that the two teams couldn't cross the 50-yard line in pregame.
Yeah.
And so dudes were standing just looking at each other. I mean, it was like WWE. I mean, it was getting ready.
It was week one.
It was week one and it was getting ready to go down. It was a great game. There were some big plays in that game. Willie Gault, You know, from the University of Tennessee had a long touchdown pass in that game, I remember. And then they had a long touchdown pass. And then you just said Dennis McKinnon returned one 95 yards or however far it is, a punt return that just lit it completely up. Mike Tomczak was our quarterback because McMahon still was not healthy. He was still and was not back. Big win. Now, look, the thing about it was is that Bears team was primed and ready to go. And then after that game, then what happened? The strike. It was after that game that the strike came in, and so then the Spare Bears came in for 3 weeks, and you know that I really think the Spare Bears.
I love that.
I really think that strike derailed that team. I mean, that team ended up 11-4 because we only played 15 that year because of the strike shortened season. But everything that had built up in that offseason, I mean, we were really primed and ready to be the dominant team, and then that's the strike just shut everything down. Now, we rebounded because those players were still so good, but it just never was quite the same feeling. And then got beat in the playoffs that year, and so it was disappointing. But that night, knowing that season was coming in, it was something. It was a special Monday night.
Willie Gault's such an iconic player for Tennessee Vols fans out there. What was he like in that locker room with the Bears?
No, I mean, he was another character in that locker room because, I mean, there were so many, diverse personalities in that locker room, but they all were. Willie Gault, really, there's two guys live and in person on a football field. They're the fastest humans I've ever seen. Willie Gault and then Deion Sanders. Just, I mean, when you watched him, you would go, and the only thing I've ever seen speed-wise like that, after that was when we had CJ2K here, where you could just tell there's a difference. But Willie Gault, I mean, Willie Gault was an Olympic athlete.
He is still, by the way, winning gold medals in the senior Olympics, I think. He's the fastest man in the world over 60 or whatever age group he's in now.
He was as pretty a runner as you would ever see. I mean, he was so smooth and McMahon, we'd just take him off on one of those nod posts, which he'd run down about 14 yards, and the defensive backs couldn't line up deep enough, because he was just that much faster, and McMahon would just let it go. And it was, he was an exceptional, exceptional athlete. Still is.
Dave McGinnis in studio with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Monday night, Titans and Cowboys. The new acquisition of Amari Cooper. I'm intrigued to see how they factor him into the offense now because they gave up a first-round pick. This is an offense that has not had the passing game go well or consistently well at all. They haven't thrown the ball down the field much. And now Jason Garrett and Linehan have a wideout that will be expected to get the football.
No, and I mean, and Jerry Jones, gives up a first-round pick for him. And then, look, I mean, they did some massive things in their off week. I mean, they fired their offensive line coach. Paul Alexander. They bring Hudson Hauk back in. They promote Mark Colombo and bring him back up. And so then clearly Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan said, look, we don't have a guy that can take the top off. We need a guy. Scott Linehan loves to run 11 personnel. We need a guy. So Jerry said, okay, well, the excuses are just about gone. I mean, they're pretty much all in, and he's put the hat on that offensive line, to perform better. And clearly, I mean, anytime you fire a coach in the middle of the season, a position coach, well, then the spotlight is on that position. And then plus, to give up a number one pick, for next year, and with eight games left in the season, or nine games left in the season, that's pretty major. That's pretty major going in, and so they've got to produce now. I don't know how they're going to use him. None of us do. I mean, he's played in the slot and he's played on the outside both. It's going to be interesting to see how they deploy him. But, people have asked me, when they got him, how much will they use him? They'll use him all the time.
How do you defend him if you're the Titans?
Well, I mean, it depends, Paul, where they put him. It's different. And if he's in the slot, it's a little bit different, the routes they're going to run with him. If they put him on the outside, then clearly they're trying to get him down the field, fast. So
you're more likely to put Jackson on him there?
Well, you'd like speed on speed, yes, if you get him in the slot. But to me, it's going to be interesting to see as far, especially in that first couple of series, where they are going to put him, how they are going to deploy him, and then I think it'll be interesting to see, and it's a fair point that you bring up, where the matchups will be, for the Titans.
And I'm getting him up to speed, he's going to have a limited play.
I don't think so, Jonathan, because of this. Look, he's been in the league long enough, okay? I mean, yeah. Routes, route, I mean, vocabulary, yes.
Okay.
Now, they got him in there during the, I mean, but, you know, a takeoff's a takeoff. You know, a deep post is a deep post. Now, timing and those types of things, that won't be there. You know, that will not be there. And then again, of course, they are trying to do that, too, to soften up some of the boxes they've been getting to stop, you know, Ezekiel Elliott. That's what they're doing also, because, you know, that's what they're going to lean on, is this run game and Ezekiel Elliott. But what they've been getting such loaded boxes because they can't get anybody off of them. You know, they can't get that safety to back up. And so everybody's playing an extra safety down there on them. That's going to be the biggest thing. But again, once they start getting the single high, okay, we'll see what they're going to do with him. But as far as the timing won't be there. He won't know the vocabulary perfectly, but they will have, to your point, a set of plays for him.
Dave McGinnis talks Titans with you, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Catch Coach Mack exclusively on 104.5 The Zone.
Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis in studio with us. Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Coach Mack presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Titans radio coverage on Monday. You can catch it right here on 104.5 The Zone. 3HL will wrap up early. Then the Lee Company countdown to kickoff begins. And then we are on the air with Titans countdown. Titans radio 6 p.m. 7:15 kickoff here in Nashville. For the game in Dallas on Monday night.
So sometimes we have an off-air conversation that it leads to an on-air question for Coach Mack. We were talking about Mike Singletary as a head coach and sort of his personality and getting used to the job, on the job, as a head coach in the NFL. What do you think about Mike Vrabel so far and his demeanor publicly? And you were talking, Coach, about, you know, getting the water in the bucket to be able to really do what you want. And Bill Belichick, you said, can do that because he's got the water in the bucket. What do you think about Mike Vrabel early on and how he's conducting himself as a head coach and ultimately what he may want to become in that role?
Well, I think he's being himself, which is the first thing you have to be. You have to be honest. You have to be yourself, because the first place, I mean, an NFL locker room, that you can they can detect somebody that's a phony so fast and so quick. And plus, I mean, you know, Mike Vrabel, just like Mike Singletary, I mean, as a player in the league, if you go into coaching, well, you've already got that cred coming into a locker room. Then it's how, you know, it's how you approach it, and it's who you are. Some people try to be somebody else. He's not. I like what he does. And the other thing about Mike Vrabel is, Mike Vrabel, look, he was willing to go to college to coach. He was willing to, you know, those types of guys like Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera played for me. He was willing to start out wherever he had to start out and go into it. And it's different than Mike Singletary. Mike Singletary didn't coach for a long time and then decided to go back in and then went to Baltimore as a linebacker coach. And then Mike Nolan brought him to San Francisco with him, and then they fire Mike Nolan. All of a sudden, Mike's the head coach. Well, he hadn't really gone through a progression that you have to go through, just like you have to go through a progression as a player, just like you have to go through a progression as a talk show host. I mean, you've got to go through a series of life events in what you're doing, and coaching ball in the National Football League is entirely different than playing football in the National Football League. I like what Mike Vrabel's doing, because he's honest, he's true to himself, and the players know that he genuinely, you know, talk about Mike Singletary. When I first got the job at Chicago, I sat down with Mike Singletary. I called and asked him, because why not? That's the guy. I'm going to be coaching the linebackers. He was the leader of that team. And I asked him, what do I have to do to get the players' respect? Because I'd never been in the National Football League before. You know, I'd coached in college for a lot of years, but I hadn't been in the National Football League. And the things, he said, look, always be honest with us. That's number one. If you don't know, tell us you don't know. And the third thing is, let us know genuinely, and not just say it, but let us feel it, that you care for us as much as you care about the number on our back. And that's how you start getting people to follow you.
And based on comments Vrabel has made to the media about that, where he says he doesn't know, you know, necessarily the intricacies of quarterback, you know.
No, he's
it sounds like he's following that pattern.
No, he's
too.
Extremely honest, and that goes a long way. And plus, he knows ball. He understands it. I mean, you've got to understand the National Football League, and I'm not just talking about understanding what a three deep or a two deep is. I'm talking about understanding, you know, the underbelly of what the National Football League is, everything it takes in the locker room, in the off season, what goes on with these guys. I mean, once you know that, you understand it from the league office on down, then you've got a better chance, because then people can come to you, you know, and he's got enough life experience and championships that he knows what it takes. The good and the bad as to what it takes to get there.
Give me your experience in this area. So you've got a young player with an opportunity to take over a leadership role. And right now, that's Corey Davis. Delanie Walker isn't there as the leading reception getter for this offense. He's not the guy that everyone can turn to in a third down situation as a dump-off option and get a first down. Rashard Matthews is not the veteran in the room anymore. Harry Douglas isn't kept around on this roster to provide leadership. This is Corey Davis's opportunity to grab hold of that role. As a coach, do you have to say anything to a player?
No. Look, leadership, I mean, and that's a broad, broad statement. But leadership comes from one thing, performance. Consistent performance. Because that's what players respect. They respect work ethic. They respect daily, seeing that you and you don't. I mean, Mike Singletary was one of the greatest leaders I've ever been around. Never said very much at all, but people would just watch and look and see. 12 years, never missed a practice, never missed a game, performed at a high level, took responsibility when he didn't perform well, was always willing to want to get better every year in the off season. About 3 months after, you know. About 2 months before we'd get back together, he'd come in with a blank notebook, said, what I need to work on. You're talking about a first ballot Hall of Famer. Leadership is not, especially in an NFL locker room, it has nothing to do with somebody saying, okay, you're the best player in this room, so clearly you've got to be the leader. It comes from performance. It comes from preparation. It comes from what they see you daily doing, and then that is where you gain the respect as a leader.
And if you have to be nudged, and I'm not saying Davis is being nudged in any way. I'm just a question. If you have to be nudged as a player, chances are you're not ready for that role, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, nobody's. I mean, I've never, ever, ever, you know, had anybody say, "Okay, look, Jonathan, guess what? Come into my office. You're the leader."
Yeah, this is your chance, or
no,
whatever.
No, no, he knows it's his chance.
Right, he has to.
I mean, he knows it's his chance. He knows this, and then by performance is what comes up.
How do you begin to crack Dallas's defense as an offense that still doesn't seem to know what it is or how to get going?
Okay, here's the deal with Dallas's defense now that is different than it has been. Rod Marinelli has always, first of all, this is a very good defense. His front, I mean, and this goes back to, you know, before he was a head coach, this is why he got a head coaching job. His defensive front has always been played very well. They've been very well coached. They've been very technique sound. They're some of the best 2- and 3-man game group that you'll ever see, because, I mean, he's just precise. He knows how to attack. He knows how to attack protections with just 4 men. He really does. But he's also always been a Tampa 2 coach, you know, 5 under, 2 deep. That's kind of been his thing, you know, and that's the way they did it in Tampa. Now, when they brought Chris Richard in from Seattle, and he brought that 3-deep scheme from Seattle in there, and you can see it on film. I mean, they're more a single high post safety defense now in the back end than they ever are. So, well, the first thing that you have to be able to do, you have to be able to identify where that extra man is coming down. Let's talk about the run game first. Because of the way they'll line up and they'll bogey or disguise what they're doing in the back end, you've got to be able to understand where that extra man is coming down and either try to check away from it or check into it and get an extra blocker over there to get leverage on it. But to attack this defense, the first thing you've got to be able to do, you've got to be able to establish some sort. Now, it's not like you don't have to rush for 300 yards, Paul, but you've got to establish some sort of consistency in the run game, because what he does when he's calling his defenses, you can just see it. When he's got people in predictable pass situations, he'll wear you out. You need to stay in 2nd and 5 or less after first down against this group, you know, because here's what they have. They have linebackers that can run. They have linebackers, and they run. And anytime you're running stunts up front with your defense, then you have to have linebackers in the back end that can run to the edges. If you don't have linebackers that can get to the edges, then running stunts voids gaps in the run game. They've got linebackers that can run. So you've got to find a way to get a hat on a hat, regardless, because you're not going to know pre-snap what type of stunts you're getting, especially on first down. So you have to have area runs that can get hats on hats and at least try to get you to second and five or less.
The Titans play here.
Oh, my goodness!
Esports Station 104.5, The Zone.
Coach Dave McGinnis in studio with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Got a story coming up from Coach Mack in a moment, but Lions head coach Matt Patricia, he ripped a reporter yesterday about the reporter's posture receiving a question about the Golden Tate trade.
Why do you think this makes your franchise better?
Well, you know, do me a favor, just kind of sit up and just like have a little respect for the process. Every day you come in and ask me questions and you just kind of like, you know, give me this. But I mean, like, just be a little respectful. I'm asking just to be a little respectful in this whole process, okay? So ask me a question professionally and I'll answer it for you.
Matt Patricia yesterday.
First off, I hope it was Mike Rothstein, my former ESPN colleague, who's a weird dude. Who asked for my job in Nashville like moments after learning.
Who you had one of the
ESPN
greatest Paul Garsky moments.
Man, listen to this. This is a story time with Midday 180 here.
First of all, you know, start with Mary Frances, sit up straight.
So we're in Indy, right?
Yes.
We're passing an escalator.
We're leaving for the week. Like, this is Friday after our show. We're walking out of the combine.
Rothstein is going up the escalator at Lucas Oil Stadium. Going down, and we pass like midway through
the convention center.
The convention center. Huge.
Got it.
And Paul turns around and starts chirping at Rothstein, who like smiles and like goes back at him. And Paul, you said something like, Rothstein, how's that job in Nashville coming, you backstabber? Something like that.
You're never getting out of Detroit. I mean, they know you suck. That's where you're going to be.
Coach, it was so loud in the way he said it. At first, I didn't know who it was. I thought Paul was joking with a buddy of his. But it was immediately like, hey, Rothstein, good luck with that Nashville job you can't get. You'll be stuck in Detroit forever. And Rothstein's like, all right, Paul, real class act you are, or something like that.
The guy looks like... you know the show Gotham, where they have the young penguin?
That's him?
He could be the stand-in for the young penguin.
Penguin.
The young penguin.
Solid.
You like that?
Paul, according to clickdetroit.com, that is indeed who he was referring to.
Can you forward me that tweet?
Yes.
At first I thought, hey, you know, I try to look decent at a press conference. Certainly a post game, part of the reason you wear a jacket and ties, you don't want to be the fat slob, with crumbs in your beard sports reporter that people stereotype.
Hitting the free buffet for a fourth time.
Right. But,
look at Mac over here.
So I wondered, like, what was Patricia looking at that might have annoyed him? But the more you think of it, this guy is not well groomed. He's wearing a hat. He's generally slovenly himself. I wish to God I had been asked that question, because I would have flipped it on him in a second and said, Matt, could you explain to me how you're respecting the process with your appearance? You're wearing a hat inside, which I bet your mom told you not to do. You haven't shaved your beard or trimmed your beard in God knows how long. How exactly are you being respectful of the process in a way that I'm not?
Mac, did you ever get into it with a reporter? Not necessarily in this fashion, but non-football related in a press conference?
No. I mean, why?
Outside of a press conference, probably, right?
Emotions get the best of you or anything?
No, don't. I mean, why? Don't let your emotions get the best of you, because, look, at the end of the day, if you win ball games, it's good. But there's still going to be things come up that people are going to question you about. Once you become a head coach in the National Football League, guess what? I mean, you're second guest. So just chill. I mean, just go through it. You know, I'd tell stories about getting stung by scorpions when we were 0-3. And just look, just be honest and go do it. Because look, the press is trying to do their job too. They've got a job to do too. I mean,
and part of me, and I see him say that, and it's almost like, because you've run an organization as the head coach, but I feel like these guys, especially if you're Belichickian at all, you're so accustomed to running everything that it never ends. Like, I could see Matt Patricia going to Kroger and getting on to people there for not standing up properly or not doing the right thing. Like, at some point, this emperor mentality just bleeds over, and that's where you find yourself. You don't even know it, but you're correcting a reporter for slouching in a seat. It just never ends.
Yeah, and probably just what Jonathan said, you don't even know it. Just, I mean, that's... I mean, it makes for a great soundbite, though. And then to get the backstory with Paul sitting here, I mean, that's golden.
Paul he was fired up that day. He's still fired up about Rothstein. I love it.
The Rothstein back and forth was
so
great.
So that the news that my contract wasn't being renewed became public on Monday. He learned it about it on Monday. I heard he asked about the job on Tuesday.
That was what he was. He was respectful.
Yeah, yeah. proper 24-hour. He obeyed the 24-hour rule.
He was respectful.
He doesn't owe you anything, though, to be fair. I mean, like, I think it's funny that you're so mad about it and you went after him with it, but I mean...
Well, I mean,
I'm sure other people beside him probably did the same thing if they wanted to get to Nashville.
Well, those other people had a chance. I mean, the thing that bugs me is the guy's so lacking in self-awareness. He has asked for the Lakers job. He's asked for every job that's ever opened at ESPN. At some point, he's going to understand he's not getting one. Like, the job he has is because nobody wants to go to Detroit.
The better part of the story would have been if you'd have jumped over the rail and then he'd have started running down the up escalator trying to get away from
him. Yeah, I'm not a fighter, though.
He's not a fighter unless he has to.
He's a talker.
Chase the penguin.
Paul's a chirper, not a fighter.
Hey, Mac, when the moment came, Chad, what did I do? Fought a naked guy. With acid strength.
Acid level strength.
Mac, the last time the Titans were in Dallas, you were in Dallas with them.
Oh, hey, was it 2010?
2010.
Mark Mariani.
Yep.
Mark Mariani. That was a big game. I mean, that was a big game down there. What I remember is, you know, of course, it was the first time I was coaching in the booth then. You know, I was hooked up in the booth. And the coach's booth at the time, I don't know what Jerry Jones has done now, but at the time, the coach's booth was a suite. I mean, it was one of the suites on the suite level. And they had it set up just like, you know, you had paid $300,000 a year to have that suite. I mean, it was pretty high living up there. But anyway, the ball game was a good back and forth football game. And the time of day that it was, if you guys have been down there, you remember, and our listeners have been down there, there's windows that at one time of the day, I mean, it makes it pretty tough at one end of the field as it comes through to see. And they scored, I think it was Whitten. Was it Whitten?
Whitten
scored a touchdown to put him ahead. And Mark Mariani.
It was tied. It was 27 all.
Mark Mariani was getting ready to return the kickoff, and where they kicked it, I mean, it was, I don't even know how he saw it. I mean, I'm not even sure he saw the ball until it was right on top of him. But Mark Mariani, and again, you know, I love Mariani. I love his story. I love what he, you know, came in and did. I mean, it's just solid stuff. But anyway, he took that thing and he hit it so hard. And I mean, and Mark Mariani was never afraid to throw himself right up into the briar patch. I mean, he would go. I mean, he would hit it and go. And he had a kickoff return, got to the 2-yard line. Now the kicker walked him down. All right. But the kicker, it wasn't just a kicker. I mean, this dude was an athlete. You know, I mean, as a big time athlete. But anyway, the 2-yard line, the CJ2K goes in and score and we win. But I remember because I was on the headset, and when he came over to Jeff Fisher, you know, after the return, you know, Fish didn't say, you know, great return, great this. He said, what a great job of fielding that ball, because that was a big time play. That was really a good football game. That's the last time I think the Titans have been down.
It is.
Am I correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was I would take that result again this Monday.
They could use a special teams play like that on Monday night.
It would help.
Mac, you're going to join us. Paul and I will be live in Dallas on Monday, and I believe you're going to join us at the hotel.
I can't wait. Look, okay, just one thing, Paul, please. If the hotel
has, you could be in the middle of the bed. If the I know some people like it cozy.
Look, that's all I'm asking. Hey, if there's an escalator in that hotel, please warn me if somebody's coming up the other side.
Beat guys will be there.
Okay.
I'm cool.
Just let me know.
Guys.
No, yes, I'm looking forward to it. That'll be good.
Coach Dave McGinnis, our guest, he's presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans.